And I told you we were going to have a guest in the studio, and she happens to be here. It's Jane Miller, and she is an author, and she's written a great new book called Healing Companions. It's Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives. And first off, good afternoon. Thanks for stopping in.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about the book. What is the book about, and what inspired you to write it?
Well, it's kind of interesting that the show starts with the golden years, and it's also started for me with the golden years, because the golden retriever then entered my life, really transformed my life.
Ah.
And she's the beginning of the book. Her name was Umaya, and she really was the introduction to how dogs can really make such a huge impact on our lives. So I'll read a little piece from the introduction, how the healing journey began.
Sure.
Several years ago, I discovered something powerful about the dogs who share many of our lives. Though all dogs provide love, comfort, joy, and support for some people, dogs actually have the ability to transform lives. Although I have been in clinical practice as a psychotherapist for years, this isn't something I learned through professional training. The catalyst was a tiny furball named Umaya, who came home with me on Christmas Eve. Here's how our journey began. After a dozen years of working and attending graduate school, I finally moved into my own home in October 1992. My first priority was to get a dog. Furniture could wait. As a child of divorce, I recall that the most memorable life-altering gift my father ever gave us was a black Labrador retriever pup we named Tasha. As I grew up, she was my best friend and confidant, especially while going through the trials and tribulations of adolescence. Tasha taught me how extraordinary the bond between a human and animal can be, and I always knew that once I had a home of my own, I wanted to find another Tasha. However, I also knew if I adopted another black lab, she might remind me too much of Tasha's absence, and eventually I fell in love with a breed with a similar disposition, the beautiful dark golden retrievers. When I started to look for my new dog, I discovered a breeder of Goldens less than 5 miles away from my home. At our first meeting, I was greeted by a boy aged about 17 years, who lived with his family on the farm where they raised the dogs. As a child, he had suffered a serious accident when the combine he was riding went up in flames, and although he had survived, he still bore the scars of his accident, despite numerous plastic surgeries and skin grafts. As we walked out into the yard to meet the dogs, he told me how he started breeding dark golden retrievers after the accident, and he credited the dogs for giving him back his life. The dogs accepted him completely for who he was, not what he looked like. I was so touched by his story and seeing how deeply the dogs loved him, I knew I'd find my pup there. The next litter was due October 30th. I could hardly wait. When the day finally came for me to meet the litter, the first pup I picked up curled happily into my lap, but after a few moments she got frisky, and when I put her down, she immediately peed. I knew at that moment she was the one, because she wouldn't pee on me. So without reading more and going into her whole story, I'd like to tell you what happened with her was when she was about 4 years old, she ended up with a very severe cancer called a fibrosarcoma. And her treatment for her fibrosarcoma, radiation treatment, was very close to my office way out in the other side of town on the east side of Cleveland. And so she would have her radiation treatment, and then she would have to come to work with me, because rather than take her all the way back to where I live in Oberlin, I took her to work. And here was this dog who was bald from the mid back to all the way to her tail, where her radiation treatment was being given. And she'd prance into the waiting room, filled with a mouth of toys, stoic and filled with life. And she transformed the whole waiting room and the experience for my clients as therapy clients. What was really magical was not only did she have an impact on the waiting room, but what happened with my clients, they'd be sitting on the floor petting her, and they'd be telling me stories about their history, their incest, their trauma history, and not even realize they were telling me those stories because they were petting Umaya. And they would come in, and it's very common for people with emotional issues, mental health issues, to be very unaware of their emotions. But they'd walk in, and if they were angry, Umaya would go to the other side of the room and start chewing on her bone voraciously. So they couldn't hide their emotions anymore because Amaya would always reflect those emotions and mirror them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd look at Amaya and they'd know what they were feeling.
So
that was very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
After much time, and in the mid-1990s, the American Disabilities Act was enacted. Mm-hmm. And that act changed the landscape for people with mental illness, because what that meant, the American Disabilities Act, when it was enacted, it included people with mental illness. So it wasn't just for people that are blind, mobility impaired, hearing impaired, but those with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up realizing that guide dogs were not the only dogs that people with disabilities could benefit from.
Sure.
And so I had a client that was said more or less that I needed an Amaya. And I said, no, you don't need an Amaya. You need a service dog. Because she was severely mentally ill and really struggled with just getting outside of her home and being able to function. And she was my first client, and all of the dogs that I work with are shelter dogs. And right now I have been collaborating with the Berea Animal Rescue Friends, and their dogs are the dogs that are placed in the prison program locally. I work with them and train the dogs with the head of the, well, not the head, but the person that trains the dogs at the Berea Animal Rescue Foundation Friends through the prison, and work with the inmates, training the dogs for their basic skills.
Okay.
So they learn basic obedience, they learn sit, stay, calm, heal, all those things. And so all the dogs go through that program, and then if they have the potential to be not only more adoptable, but they have the potential then to be service dogs, then I place them with clients.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information, and it kind of got jumbled up in there. So the book basically is about your dog.
Well, the book is people's stories of how service dogs have really impacted their lives and altered their lives. And it gives a lot of information about what their services dogs do for them, how to – there's a chapter about how to help your dogs with stress and with different situations with family members and things like that as well.
But you personally work with dogs.
Yes.
And then you you train them to be service dogs for people with mental illness. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to take time out, and we're going to talk about that, because this is the first time I've heard the term, and we didn't talk about it, but I read a little bit about it, and it's the psychiatric service dogs, which I think very few people are familiar with. Yeah.
Yes,
so we'll come back, and we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes right here on Gold Country 1320. And right now, back in the studios, we're with Jane Miller. She's an author who wrote Healing Companions. It's Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives. And this is we talked just briefly, this is kind of a collection of stories. And it talks about what is now your profession is raising service dogs and, more importantly, psychiatric service dogs. And is this a collection of true stories from people that you've run across and
that I've worked with? Yes.
Very nice. And now let's talk a little bit about this, because I've heard the term service dog before, and I've heard and you brought up that people generally associate that with like the leader dogs for the blind and things like that. But I've also seen therapy dogs that are in hospitals and things like that. And you like you said, dogs have an innate sense. They kind of know what everyone's feeling and everything.
They're very
like
intuitive.
That.
Yes.
And people are drawn to them. My father's in a nursing home, and twice a week people bring animals in, and everyone just kind of comes down to where the animals are, and there's a sense of comfort and joy and youthfulness, actually, that comes from being with these animals. But let's talk a little bit more about like what your definition is, because you've seen obviously every kind of service dog there is out there.
That's right.
And then we'll talk a little bit about the psychiatric service dogs too. But what defines a service dog?
Okay, most of us are very familiar with service dogs that are for people that are blind or mobility impaired or hearing alert dogs. We're hearing more and more about seizure alert dogs and dogs that are able to alert to children that are allergic to peanuts and chemical sensitivity dogs. And psychiatric service dogs are for those that are severely limited in their ability to function due to mental illness. So these dogs can really help assist someone with a range of disabilities. So with psychiatric service dogs, not every person that's got mental illness has the same symptoms, unlike a guide dog that is trained to do the same thing pretty much for every person that's blind. I have some people that are agoraphobic or have agoraphobia or have an eating disorder or have obsessive-compulsive disorder, bipolar. We're very familiar with these terminologies. Now, what makes us so unique is that the dogs are trained specific tasks based on that individual person's needs.
Okay.
So if that person has an eating disorder, the dog might be trained to block them from going to the refrigerator as often. If they don't eat, if they're anorexic or have symptoms of anorexia, the dog will bring them food every few hours. If they're bipolar and they're entering into a manic episode, the dog might go and retrieve their medication so that they can take their medication to prevent going into the manic episode. If the person has PTSD that we're familiar with, post-traumatic stress disorder, and they are uncomfortable out in public with crowds of people coming too close to them, the dog can be trained to stand behind them, beside them, or in front of them, blocking people from getting too close to them. Oh. So there's many skills we train these dogs to do. But like I said, we are specifically training them based on that individual person's needs and their symptoms. And the dogs are trained to mitigate the effects of their symptoms.
Now, in the course of this, of course, I'm going to say clients and their service dogs become very close with one another. And everything. Are there certain breeds of dogs that seem to be more trainable than other dogs? Are there certain dogs that really make good service dogs?
The way we work is a little different than a lot of the service dog organizations that provide dogs for guide dogs or mobility dogs. They like you said, they raise the dogs, they get puppies.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs I work with are shelter dogs.
Okay.
So all the dogs I have trained come from shelters or rescues. The one that's getting ready to retire, she's a Katrina rescue dog.
Oh, okay.
So we really like to get the dogs when they're about 1.5 to 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at breeds that are mixed,
all
breeds.
Everything
and what
out
I
there.
Look at is not as, I mean, breeds are important, but we try not to make generalizations because every dog is different.
That's true.
Even in a breed group. I mean, not every Labrador Retriever or Golden Retriever is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the temperament and the trainability. I'm just placing a dog last week when I had a meet and greet with one of my clients that met one of the dogs that just got finished going through the training program at the reintegration center in Grafton, the prison program where the inmates trained this dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a real mix, but she is an incredibly smart dog, very, very comforting, very easygoing. But the best thing is, like I said, that she's got a great temperament, she's easygoing, and she's very easily trainable. She's
very nice,
learns very quickly. And that's what we look for.
Sure.
And she's already passed what we call the class test, which is similar to a canine good citizen test. So she'll be now moving towards being trained with what we call public access training, which means the dog learns skills to be able to go out in public, be able to deal with being in a movie theater and not hoovering, I call it, which means eating all the popcorn on the floor, and learns how to tuck its tail. So when it gets under a table at a restaurant, its tail is not sticking out so that the waiters or waitresses or people cleaning the tables don't step on the dog's tail.
Well, oh, wow.
And we teach
them. That's something I would have never thought of.
Right, but. Right. And so we teach them unique skills because they're out in the world. They're out in the environment. They go everywhere with their human.
Sure.
So that person can function at a higher degree.
Well, I tell you what, we got to take another time out.
No problem.
And we're going to do that. We're going to come back and talk more for that. Right now, Jane Miller with us, and she's got a great book, Healing Companions, Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives. And we've been talking about the fact that you have, you know, you do training out there and and get service dogs to people. And if people are interested in this or if it's something they might think would help their families, what's the first thing they should do or how can they get a hold of you to find out what to do?
That's a great question. And I love that you included family members because frequently it's family members that reach out saying, my son, my friend, my daughter is struggling with mental health issues. Please feel free to go to my website. www.healing-companions.com. That's healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, and that's -companions.com. My phone number is 1-800-457-0345. My email is jmiller, M-I-L-L-E-R, at Oberlin, OBERLIN.net, and I would be thrilled to hear from you, and I really hope you've enjoyed learning a little bit more about one of the options for people that really are struggling to function that can make a huge difference. We are very aware that therapy can be helpful, medication can be helpful, but dogs can really get us up out of bed in the morning and get us out into the world to function, to be able to live more productive lives.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And Jane, thank you so much for taking the time and coming
My pleasure.
To talk to us today. Do check it out, and if you need that information, call us here at the station. We'll set you up and hook you up with Jane so you can find out more about her organization, find out more about service dogs, and if you'd like to get the book, you can do that as well at her website. So, like I said, we'll be happy to pass that along to you right here on Gold Country 1320.